Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. This is going to be another mini pod, just with me, John Steele. Stuart and I's schedules not matching for this midweek round of J2 games that I'm going to talk about. So for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to do a solo pod and just wrap up the midweek J2 action. Round 41, we almost made it to the end of a crazy season. And I think we should start at the top. Congratulations to Tokushima Vortis and Avispa Fukuoka. After a protracted and exciting battle at the top of the table, they've both clinched promotion to J1 for next season. This is because they both won their Wednesday night games. Tokushima beat Omiya Ardija 1-0 at home. The crucial goal came in the 21st minute here. It was scored by Yuki Kakita. Who else? Heading in Akira Yamashita's cross. Terrible goalkeeping from Omiya's Kasahara on this one. I don't know what he was doing. If you watch the highlights, you'll see what I mean. He really should have done better with his attempt at saving the header. At the other end of the pitch, Tokushima's goalkeeper, Naoto Kami Fukumoto, nearly gave a goal away with some poor footwork, but redeemed himself, making a good save from Kanji Okunuki. Meanwhile, Kakita also went close to doubling Tokushima's lead with a half volley at the other end. But yes, Omiya played quite well actually, but Tokushima were stronger, were able to hold on, get that crucial 1-0 win to seal promotion back to J1 after 7 years away. Meanwhile, second place Fukuoka, they were comfortably the better side in their game away at Ehime and eventually won 2-0. I think this is the game that I said will be a potentially difficult one in the previous pod, so let's gloss over this one quickly. Shigetoshi Hasebe's men went ahead when Yuya Yamagishi bundled home at the far post following a corner kick from Emil Salmonson being flicked on. Douglas Groly made sure, slamming the ball in on the line, but it was Yamagishi's goal, in the 19th minute. And it was 2-0 in first half stoppage time, an absolutely super goal from Daya Tono. He effortlessly controlled the ball in the air and then swept a superb half volley right into the side netting. A brilliant goal. Fukuoka did have the ball in the net again for a third time in the second half, and it was Salomonson himself who finished off a fast counter-attack, but unfortunately he was just offside and the goal was disallowed. There was some, nice to see the scenes at full-time. The Fukuoka players were all crowded round a tablet to watch the end of the Nagasaki Kofu match, which we'll come on to in a moment. And when the final whistle went in that game, it was pandemonium. So, good to see Fukuoka's players releasing some tension and celebrating their promotion. Looking ahead to the weekend games, the final round, Fukuoka actually hosts Tokushima on Sunday in the last game of the season. Tokushima will be champions as long as they don't lose by 15 goals away at Fukuoka. It might be 16 goals. Maths is not my strong point. But basically, unless 2020 gets even weirder, Tokushima are going to be the champions, and Fukuoka are going to go up with them to J1 in second place. But they'll definitely be the top two. They've sealed promotion. Congratulations to all involved. They've been fantastic. Another team that's been fantastic, but is just going to miss out, is Nagasaki. They'll finish third this season. They gave it absolutely everything, but could only draw 1-1 at home against Kofu on Wednesday night. Nagasaki did go in front, thanks to a goal of the season contender from Akayo Cesar, thumping in a rising drive from almost 30 yards midway through the first half. So Nagasaki were ahead. Their goalkeeper, Kenta Tokushige, had to make a smart close-range save from Dudu early in the second half as Kofu threatened an equaliser. But they did equalise in the 67th minute. Ryotaro Nakamura headed in a corner kick. Nobody on the post, on either post for Nagasaki, defending this corner, which is something that you see quite often and I can't understand. If you watch the replays, the closest player who had a chance of actually defending this this goal-bound header was Edgar Junior. So he's not the player you want to see back in his own six-yard box. So, I'm not really sure about the defending on that one. But it finished 1-1, so Nagasaki's kind of excellent season is going to end in... I think they can be very proud of what they've achieved this year. They've been really good to watch, and better than I expected. But I think ultimately, they're going to be disappointed to miss out on promotion. Yeah, and some big transfer news or big kind of arrival and departure news from Nagasaki as well. There's lots of speculation that Edgar Junior will be back at Nagasaki in 2021. I think this is based on a something that he tweeted out about being back stronger for next year. And I think the inference is he's going to be back at Nagasaki, which would be a huge coup for them if that's the case. But it's nothing's official at the moment as far as I know, but it does seem like, Edgar Junior will be back. Back at Nagasaki for next season. Someone who won't be back, and this is pretty surprising, it was announced on Friday that the manager, Makoto Teguramori, is leaving. I'm not sure if he resigned or was fired. You have to imagine he decided to walk, so I don't think Nagasaki would have fired him after coming so close to promotion. So yeah, Nagasaki are in the market for a new manager, and there's no word yet on who that might be. Hopefully Stu and I can get together and pontificate about that in the near future. But Nagasaki missing out on promotion, they'll finish third, and they're in the market for a new manager as they look to go again in 2021. Just talking about the other games from the midweek round, I missed this beforehand when we were previewing, but Tochigi played their first match at the brand new Kanseki Stadium in Tochigi and beat Jeff 1-0, Jeff Chiba 1-0. Yasutaka Yanagi was the player who got the historic first goal at the stadium with a towering header midway through the second half. The Kanseki Stadium, it's brand new. Originally, Tochigi was supposed to play, I think, four or five home games here before COVID-19 messed everything up. It has a running track, so it's not as cosy as the Tochigi Green Stadium, the soccer-specific stadium that Tochigi usually use. But it looks nice enough and very modern. All the seats are covered, which is good. And the next home game coming up at the weekend, their final game of the season against Iwata, is also going to be held there on Sunday. The temperature at kickoff was -1. So, any groundhoppers who went along for the first game at this stadium had to be wrapped up warm. But Tochigi won 1-0 in the end. Another cold game. I guess they were all cold on Wednesday, let's be honest. But it looked cold up in Nagano. Matsumoto and Tokyo Verde drew 1-1 on a snowy pitch. So, one of my favourite sights is seeing the pitch, you know, a mix of green and white with lots of snow settled on it. And the orange ball came out, which I know is a big thing for football supporters of a certain age, I think. So, yeah, that was good. And, completing the look, you know, Matsumoto playing in green and Verde in white. So it was all happening in that one. But the game finished 1-1. Verde took an early lead when Ryoya Yamashita clipped the ball expertly over the goalkeeper early on. Matsumoto equalised when Koki Tsukagawa headed home midway through the second half, his ninth goal of a pretty productive season. We should mention, I think it'll get lost in the shuffle really, because this was a dead rubber of a game, but there was a superb save from Verde's goalkeeper Mateus to stop Kazune Kubota from grabbing a winner for Matsumoto. So that game finished 1-1. Kita Kyushu dealt with Yamagata quite comfortably at home at Mikuni World Stadium. They won 2-0. The goals in this game came from Daigo Takahashi and Akira Disaro in the first half. So, yeah, commanding performance from Kita Kyushu in that game. There was a great match at Sanga Stadium. Kyoto and Kanazawa ended up drawing 1-1. Kyoto hit the woodwork twice in the first half through Pita Utaka and Yoshihiro Shoji. And Kyoto nearly gave away a hilarious goal, which is worth checking out online, when their goalkeeper, Tomoya Wakahara, miscontrolled a big booming back pass from Jordi Bice on his chest. His control was terrible, and then he lost his footing trying to recover the situation. But it didn't end up in a goal, fortunately for him. Kanazawa did go in front, though, in the 63rd minute, and it was an absolutely brilliant goal, a rising drive from Raisei Shimazu, just one of many cracking goals from the midweek games. The rest of the drama came in stoppage time. Kanazawa's Takumi Hasegawa picked up a second yellow card and was sent off. This was after a very innocuous coming together with Utaka. I can only assume that Hasegawa must have said something that the referee didn't like, because there didn't seem to be any other reason to give him a second yellow. But he was off. Kanazawa were down to 10 men, but they held out until the 94th minute when Keiya Sento did brilliantly. He was on the ground, he was in a prone position, but he was able to just force the ball, you know, just poke the ball over the line and into the net for an equaliser. So Kyoto and Kanazawa finished 1-1. Elsewhere, on Wednesday night, Yamaguchi had another good win and a rare clean sheet, 1-0 at home against Niigata. Kazuma Takai, a player that we seem to be talking about quite a lot recently, he scored the winner, his 11th goal of the season, so a career best return for him. There was a Christmas cracker of sorts at Ekopa Stadium in Shizuoka. Iwata came back from two goals down to beat Machida Zelvia 3-2. Machida took a two-goal lead in the first half here, and the defending from Iwata was just hilarious. It's a long time since my sides literally hurt from laughing at a football match, but this one did the trick. For Machida's first goal, Iwata's keeper Daichi Sugimoto nutmegs himself. I guess that's the only way to describe it. You're going to have to see the highlights to get the full impression, but he just... I don't know what happened, but he seemed to just lose his bearings or lose track of what he was supposed to be doing. It presented Mizuki Ando with a tap-in to put Machida 1-0 up. Just 4 minutes later, an even funnier goal, really, conceded by Iwata. Hiroki Ito, the defender, was the last man and fell flat on his face, which allowed Kaina Yoshio to take full advantage, go through and put Machida 2-0 up. I think if you look at the replay closely, Hiroki Ito handles the ball as he's falling forwards, you know, onto his face. That's how bad it is. But brilliant or terrible, depending on your point of view. But it's been a tough year. We all need a laugh. I recommend the two goals that Iwata gave away in this game as a good way to get your laughs. Iwata pulled a goal back with 90 minutes left. Machida's goalkeeper this time, probably at fault, Koki Fukui. He couldn't hold on to the ball, and Kentaro Oi was on hand and snaffled up the rebound. Iwata then won it dramatically, scoring twice in second half stoppage time. First it was Rikia Uehara, who took advantage of some dodgy Machida defending to kind of flick in to make it 2-2. And then Kotaro Fujikawa, who looked offside to me, and I didn't get to see a good replay on TV, but he looked like he might have been offside, but he grabbed the winner. So in a sort of ridiculous game, Iwata ended up beating Machida 3-2. Gunma comfortably beat Okayama 2-0 at home with goals from Shota Aoki and Ryohei Hayashi. It was nice to see Hayashi score. He's retiring, of course, at the end of the season, so that was potentially his last goal as a professional, and certainly his last goal in a home game for his team, so it's good to see that. And there was a great win as well for Ryukyu away at Mito. They also won 2-0. Superbly taken goals from Shuto Kawai and Ren Ikeda in the last 17 minutes of this game. So yeah, really worth checking out those two finishes in terms of highlights as well. Great result for Ryukyu. And I noticed a couple of the Ryukyu players wearing tights, or, I don't know, shapewear, you know, on the lower half in this game. Not sure how I feel about that. If it's very cold, I suppose it's fair enough. Maybe if you're coming from Okinawa, where it's probably 15 or 16 degrees, you need something to keep out the cold. But, I don't know. There were some other players as well in the midweek highlights. Far too many. Gloves is one thing, but, snoods or tights. Come on, guys. It's not that bad out there yet. It's not minus one's not too bad, I don't think, if you're running around. Anyway, that's probably enough of my fashion opinions for round 41. So yeah, we've made it through to the last round of the J2 season. As a preview, it's coming up on Sunday, December the 20th. All of the games will kick off simultaneously at 2 p.m. Japan time, and I'll just pick out the key fixtures before I wrap up. As mentioned earlier, there's a promotion party in Fukuoka. Fukuoka will host Tokushima, so it's second place against first, and they're both guaranteed a place in J1 for next season, of course. And as mentioned, Fukuoka will need to beat Tokushima by 15 or 16 goals to overtake them at the top. So I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd say Tokushima are gonna be champions. Fukuoka are gonna go up to J1 with them as runners up. Third place Nagasaki and Makoto Tegramori's last game in charge, as mentioned, will host Kanazawa. So third place welcoming 17th place to Transcosmos Stadium. And if you're looking for something a bit different, a hipster choice might be Tochigi hosting Iwata in round 42. So it's going to be the second ever game at the new Kanseki Stadium. And yeah, the way that Iwata defended, especially in the first half against Machida, there'll probably be some goals in that one. It might be a good end of season fixture to watch. All right, everyone, that's all for this mini pod. Thanks as always for listening to the show and downloading. Stuart and I from Extra Time, and you know, Ben and Sam from the Big Pod, really appreciate it. We know it's been a bit of a weird year all round, but we've made it to the end. If you're a patron and you back us with cold hard cash as well, we appreciate that too. We know it's not easy to make any kind of financial commitments these days, as usual. So yeah, thanks very much, and enjoy the football at the weekend. We've got the J2 and J3 finales coming up on Sunday, so enjoy the weekend action. Stuart and I'll be back very soon to wrap it all up for you on another episode of the pod. So that's all from me. Yeah, enjoy the football. Bye for now.